AI is amazing. However, there's a lot of overhype around AI as well. You know the truth and you try to tell them the truth, but certain people will only accept your version of the truth when they are ready to accept your version of the truth. AI usage right now, practically speaking, may not necessarily be as sexy as what most people are painting the picture at. If your message is not on point, if your message doesn't fit the market, it doesn't matter how many times you amplify the message, you're amplifying nothing. Let me just ask you a question. Would you base your plans on how people should behave or how people will behave?
I definitely think it's going to be... Hi, and welcome to the 91-Day AI Transformation Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Mast, and I am really excited to have Felix with me today. Felix and I connected over social media. In fact, today is the first time we've actually talked to each other. I always love those podcasts when I've gotten to know somebody a little bit based on what they're doing online and then have the opportunity to chat with them. So, Felix, before I dive in and massacre this introduction, why don't you tell our audience a little bit about yourself, kind of give us that elevator pitch perspective. Who is Felix, and what do you focus on?
It's always been a hard question for me to answer, but in terms of my short little background, I used to own a gym and it failed. A 4-year business failed completely, and that got me to realize that, hey, I actually need a mentor. I went out of my way for the first time to seriously look for a mentor, finally found one, and restarted from scratch. Made a bit of money for myself, and that was when I realized that I've lost all passion for fitness. I wanted to do something that actually helps people make money. So that was when I started to join the BizOp consultation industry, and from then onwards, spent a few years following my mentor around, doing a lot of consultation work, until I decided, hey, I want to do my own thing. So after about 2 years of doing that, AI came about. And one of the biggest challenges about the consultation business is that we had to, whenever we are dealing with a client, especially people who are new, who do not know much about marketing, they are just an expert in their own field.
Yeah.
They have a lot of things to learn. And in the past, we had to do all the teaching manually, give them courses, let them read stuff and whatnot. When AI came about, I had a light bulb moment. And the light bulb moment is that I could just teach the AI all the frameworks and use the, like, let the client interact with the AI. You know, so now they don't have to, now they can bypass a lot of learning. There's still a lot of learning needed, but a lot of stuff is gone now. So some of the highlights that personally I consider a huge win, things like market research, figuring out your positioning, like figuring out what is your core message, writing up your origin story. Like, these are not even the fancy, sexy stuff like creating content. We're talking about the most basic, fundamental stuff. Based on my observations, having joined over 100,000, like having invested over 100,000 in courses, looking at my peers and guiding clients of my own, typically people take a lot of time to figure all of those things out. Months, if not over a year. With this system that I've got, like, I was able to bring it down to just hours, because now the AI is so good at interpreting, it's so good at predicting what people are going to say. So we just have a one-on-one session, and by just putting them through this kind of process, we can shrink so much work in a very short time, months of work in just 4 hours. So it's just absolutely amazing. And ever since then, I've been doing that for all my clients. So we still do a lot of the sexy stuff, but yep. I mainly use it to cover the fundamentals, to shorten the distance between learning and execution. That's basically what I do in a nutshell as an AI marketing consultant.
I love that. I love how you laid that out. Again, I think it makes so much sense, and it's so simple and straightforward. What has been the feedback you've gotten, Felix, from your clients as you've begun implementing that and using that my guess is, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but a lot of the clients that you're working with from the consulting perspective probably have struggled over the years to tell you what their value prop is and what is their origin story and all that. So my guess is this is really proving to be helpful, but what type of responses are you getting from your clients as you start integrating AI into your processes?
So I'm going to use an example. I know this guy, his name is Derek, and I knew him because we both studied under the same mentor in marketing, like many years back. Mm-hmm. And this guy, he runs a brick and mortar business, and he wanted to do something online because like he didn't see his business. He wants to pivot out of the business. That's what he wanted to do. So we both studied under the same mentor. And while I was gaining results through the program, he was stuck because he always have competing priorities. He wasn't able, like he can learn, but when it comes to marketing, you need a certain level of intensity in order for wins to start stacking. You know, you can't just, it's kind of like boiling water. You gotta put in the fire for a while before water boils. If you turn off the heat too soon and then turn it back on again, you lose all the momentum, right? And that's what happened to Derek. That's what happened to Derek for over a year. Like he paid for the high ticket program. For over a year, he struggled. He tries his best to join the program, join the calls, watch the videos and all of that stuff, but he wasn't able to get anywhere. Fast forward a couple of years, I've already left the fitness business. Now I'm a marketing consultant. And then AI came about. I started to use AI for about a year. He was like, wow, Felix, you grow so much. So he decided to join my program. And in 4 hours, like just not the 4 hours that I mentioned, we got done what he couldn't done in a year.
Wow. And
yeah.
That's amazing.
And recently I've already upgraded that system even. Like, you know how... Like one of my ex-mentors, he used to consult for a lot of big companies like Agora, Mindvalley, and he was a highly paid copywriter. People pay him like $20,000 to write a single sales letter. Like he used to take 2 weeks to write stuff like that. He used to take 2 weeks. Like that was his basically like if you engage him to write sales letters for you, he's gonna say, okay, I'm gonna take 2 weeks to come back to you. In my 4 hour session, not only do we finish the positioning, the message, the origin story, the market research, all the basic fundamentals, I managed to turn it into an actual offer document. So your core offer, whatever high ticket offer that you have, I'm able to create a sales document, offer letter from that, which is essentially a sales letter. Mm-hmm. So this is madness. This is like very, very fast. So a lot of people who have some background in marketing, in sales, or who have learned from any number of trainers, when they come into my program, they do this call with me, like their jaw is on the floor. It's like, this is so amazing. I've had copywriters, freelancers, ghostwriters coming into my program, and that's the kind of feedback they give me. That guy, Derek, 2 months after, he was in my program, and in 2 months, like he managed to sign 2 high ticket clients in his new venture, which he was training, but he has never gotten a single client before, and the kind of client that he got wasn't even like free client. Like these 2 clients, each of them paid him $36,000. You know, so this is amazing. You know, so like this guy is just like making bank. You know, so I'm very happy to play a part in his life, to help him figure out his positioning, his getting clarity on his brand and everything like that. And now he's just out there looking for working on his next adventure. So that's amazing.
That is so cool. I love that. Thanks for sharing that story. I think that brings some things relative and you know, that ability to, again, help that client in 4 hours accomplish something they hadn't been able to accomplish before in a class, I think is a really good example of how AI can work. It's kind of like, you know, I'll even think back to my origin story. I've told it a couple different ways. I've never been real happy with it. And I never wanted to take the time to really sit down and work through that because my ADD kicks in and I have 14 other things that happen as I'm doing that. But when I sat down with, and I think I used Claude, it doesn't really matter, but it sat down and I said, hey, I want you to interview me and I want you to ask me questions so we can create an origin story that we can share, all of a sudden it became an interactive process that within about 30 to 45 minutes I was able to get done. And I'm like, wow, I have literally spent years trying to put this together and never been successful at it. Admittedly, I never locked myself in a room for a day and said, you're going to not come out till it's done. But it just, it was important, but never urgent. And therefore it never got done. And I think AI allows us in so many areas. I love, you know, you're talking about value props and all those things. It's so important. As you look at it from your experience using AI, Felix, what do you see happening as we're recording this? This goes live. This is going to be November, December, 2024. What do you see happening in 2025 as we look ahead? Where do you see some of the advances are, and how do you think that it may impact us as business owners in particular?
Two things. Number one is going to be video. And number two, whatever, I think we both have an mutual friend, Jeff J. Hunter. Like, he was compiling.
That's how we connected, exactly.
Yeah, he was compiling a lot of materials about the job apocalypse. We're already seeing it, right? I'm going to go through one by one. So in 2 years back, when AI first gained a lot of traction, the main application of it was, oh, it's cool, it's fun. And then the first actual serious application of it was in the form of art, in the form of like graphics, so on. So a lot of people started using that, and we started to see a lot of hype around it. And then after a while came, which is throughout this whole year, in fact, AI copywriting started to gain a lot of traction. Now, the reason why this is significant is because personally, in my point of view, I think that AI is amazing. However, there's a lot of overhype around AI as well. When, like, I'm a very practical person. Like, I don't like theoretical use cases. It's like, oh yeah, theoretically we can use agentic networks for this and that. Yeah, theoretically, but I'm running a business. I want results now. You know, I don't have time to be messing around with all kinds of stuff. And this year has proven that, from last year we can use it for research, but this year we have proven that copywriting using AI is solid. We can make it happen. We can get sales out of it.
Yes.
What we can't do as of now is videos. But with Sora a couple of months ago, and with all of these integrations by developers, recently I was invited to join a Discord server by a certain developer who created this all-in-one video creation, you know, software. And I've been exploring it because I'm exploring to create my top of funnel right now. And I decided that my top of funnel is going to be entertaining. and so I explored a lot of softwares, a lot of AI apps that is on the market. Many of them are still very far behind. But this one in particular that I use, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Like, there were still some kinks, but it was at least usable. I don't cringe when I'm looking at it, and it doesn't require me to generate it like 20 times to find one usable item. So it's actually practical. Now, what that guy in my conversation with the founder, he's saying that over the next 6 months, like, a lot of crazy things are happening in the video space side of things. So if you're asking me, like, what is gonna be happening, I think that we are gonna start to see more and more video content that incorporates both a combination of talking head, which is already proven. We can already do talking head with video generation, but incorporating B-rolls that is generated by AI. And a lot of more fun stuff is happening right now. The other day I created a video of a mockumentary of, like, you know, who's the guy named Sir David something something, Attenborough? You know, the guy who did a voiceover for Nat Geo, Animal Planet.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. The deep, like, British UK voice.
Yes.
I did a video of that, like, and narrating about the funnel, the process of a prospect going through a funnel, but narrated as though he was talking, he was doing a documentary about spiders. Except you replace the word spider with the funnel, you know. So it was very.
I love it. That's good.
yeah, it came out to be very fun. And I recently did another one where, you know, there was a recent trending viral video, or rather a viral pattern, like a trend of if Gen Z was my marketer, right? If Gen A was wrote my marketing script, and then they narrated like that. So I use an AI, which is ChatGPT. I use ChatGPT to come up with a narration or come up with a script. If a Gen Z got invited to a Success Resources Success Resource stage and start pitching his product, so he started to use all kinds of like Gen Z slang on it. It was fun. It was entertaining. Like, it's not very believable yet, but it's kind of getting there. I have the feeling that this is kind of like end of 2022. Kind of feeling with in regards to AI video clips. So I think over the next few months, that's going to happen. And in terms of the job apocalypse, I actually have a cousin who actually asked me out for dinner for my birthday the other day. And he actually works in an auditor's regulatory body. And he's saying that they are pushing auditors to learn other forms of auditing right now. Why? Because auditors have always been auditing money, right?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yep.
AI is going to take that over. Like, what AI will take?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. So they are heavily pushing, like, them to not to learn AI, but like maybe learn AI too. But like, what they are heavily pushing is pushing them to learn stuff that AI can't do yet, such as auditing the carbon footprint that is left by manufacturing companies, auditing the sustainability practices that is being incorporated, you know, because when it comes to auditing, it is not just a matter of hearing stuff. You actually have to physically go to the location and see the proof of it. You see, so this kind of application is still far off, but whatever that is digital, AI is going to take over. So we are going to see a massive job apocalypse. A lot of people are going to lose their jobs. A lot of people are going to lose their jobs. And we are probably going to suffer for a few years. Like, a lot of people are going to need to suffer for a few years before some smart guy or some government somewhere figure out basic universal basic income. Like, until somebody figure out universal basic income, we are probably going to see quite a number of years of suffering by a lot of people who hasn't yet caught on, who's still burying their head in the sand. Their head is going to be very painfully and very rudely pulled out of the sand very soon.
Let's dive into that a minute, because these are always fun discussions, especially when we don't totally agree. So I'm not sure I agree with you on the whole universal basic income and this is going to cause problems. My perspective is, you know, we went through the Industrial Revolution, the internal combustion engine, the PC, the internet. In every one of those situations, people came forward and said, oh my God, civilization is going to end. We're going to suffer. And while I totally agree, there will be people that are going to be displaced. It's going to happen. That happens with anytime there's new technology. I think there's going to be an abundance of new opportunities opening up for people to take advantage of. What I see more is that we're not going to be able to sit back on our laurels, so to speak, and ignore this and expect that life will continue as it is. We have essentially a monumental foundational shift happening in technology and in our society that those that choose to ignore, I think, are going to be worse off for. But I don't see us getting to the point that AI is going to be doing so much of the work. I think it's going to change the type of work that we do. Talk to me about your perspective on my thoughts here. I mean, I want to have a discussion with you, Felix. Yeah. How do you perceive that from the way I'm presenting it, as opposed to maybe the way you're looking at it?
We are actually not disagreeing. Okay. Like, I do not disagree that there is a lot more opportunities. There will be a lot more opportunities. Companies are going to thrive, but at the same time, they're going to be companies who are going to shut down as well. Like, change is inevitable. It is always happening. However, yes. There is one fundamental truth that we need to understand about human nature. Would you, let me just ask you a question.
Sure,
would you base your plans on how people should behave or how people will behave.
I definitely think it's going to be how they will behave. I may have more faith in humanity than a lot of people out there. I'll readily admit that. I think the problem with so many, and I don't want to go to the government area, but so many central planners run into, whether they're in government or business or wherever, is they operate on the premises of how people should work, not how they will work or how they will react.
Yeah. And that is why the universal basic income comes in. I personally think that it has to happen. And the sooner it happens, the better. Because for as long as it doesn't happen, the risk of the displaced committing crimes in order to sustain themselves increases. Because it is fear. It is a lot of things that we know there is opportunities. But we've been telling people, like all the gurus, all the coaches, all the mentors and people who have a certain higher order level of thinking have been telling people, look, you don't have to stay poor for the rest of your life.
Right.
We've been telling that since 1920s, for so long now. But how many people are still staying below the poverty line because of the way they think? That is the issue.
Well, and I agree with you on the thinking part. I absolutely agree. I think it's fun to have these discussions because I see how they pull back and forth, and we may not be as different as it sounds. I think the difference is that, you know, probably because I'm a man of faith, I believe the poor will always be with us. Yet, I don't think the universal income, and while this is about AI, it's one of these talks, I don't think that universal basic income does anything to address that. Because if everybody in the world, let's just say hypothetically, or we'll take the U.S. where you and I are based, if everybody in the U.S. is guaranteed, let's call it $50,000 a year, all of our prices will go up accordingly. We saw this happen over COVID when all of a sudden the government started giving us all kinds of money that for essentially for free, and it wasn't, and that's a whole nother discussion. But when we all of a sudden had money coming into our coffers as individuals, because every person was getting money, what did we see? We saw rampant inflation because all of a sudden that, again, basic economics caught or supply and demand. People were like, well, I'm getting, you know, and I don't remember the exact numbers, but let's say I'm getting $1,500 a month in extra income. Well, I'm going to go spend that. And
yeah, they don't have the mindset for it.
Yeah. The best example I can give is my wife and I bought an RV this past year. We decided we wanted to do some camping. We sold our house and we're going to be doing some traveling. I'm going to do that digital nomad thing. And while we were buying the RV, we were talking to the dealer, and he said, you know, this RV that you're buying was 40% more expensive during COVID than it is today. And I'm like, that's really interesting. Why was that? He goes, well, people were making extra money. They had extra money coming in from the government. And he goes, they just got stupid with how they spent their money. And he says, we were selling. And he admits, he goes, you know, it was good for him as a sales rep. But he said, basic supply and demand. There weren't enough RVs available. And this happened in so many different areas. There weren't enough RVs available for the demand. So what happened? Now price went up. So now if we take that full circle and we go universal basic income, now that's just going to cause pricing to go up. And every year we're going to be stuck in this, well, how much more do we need to raise that? And at some point, because just as a reminder to anybody listening, the government doesn't actually create anything. They take stuff. So at some point they can't take enough money to do that. I see that threat of universal basic income and all that being a far greater threat than AI. What are your thoughts on that, Felix? I mean, we're venturing into politics and economics off of AI, but if you'd allow me that ability for a moment to go there.
I love this. I love this. I like this discussion. And I think you have a good point. Perhaps universal basic income might not be the perfect solution, maybe, but the problem of people who are being displaced and have no way to survive, I think that problem needs to be solved in some way.
And I agree. We need to have absolute grace and help with that. Talk to me about that. Let's deal with that, because that's something maybe a little more specific. AI.
Yeah.
What type of people are you going to be displaced, and how do you think, as a society, we should be helping them? What are your thoughts on both that? You know, who's going to be displaced and where? Because my fear, very candidly, is that the people that are going to be displaced are making a choice to be displaced. and it's not my responsibility to help you from the repercussions of making bad choices. I should, do I want to make sure you've got a roof over your head and you've got food in your belly and your kid's belly? 100%. But if you've made bad choices, is it my responsibility to make sure you live in a nice house? No. Is it my responsibility to make sure you've got steak to eat? No. And again, maybe that makes me cruel, but I believe that, you know, our decisions have consequences. How does that fit in your mind? What is our responsibility? And what, I guess let's start first with, who do you think is going to be displaced? That's probably a better place to start.
I think that the first kind of people who is going to be displaced is going to be the white collar workers. Like all of the people who are in like most of the people who are in employment and who are doing things like data entry, up all the way up to data analysis and all of the anything in between. Like if they don't really need a physical presence to be somewhere to do their job, I think those are the people with the highest risk of being displaced. And then
And that's fair, but doesn't that actually put you and I right in the crosshairs then? I mean, because both of us in what we do, and yet I will admit I have no fear about what AI is going to do. I see just immense opportunity.
I don't have fear about it. I'm not afraid of AI. I am afraid of people. That is
interesting.
That is what I'm afraid of. So all of the stuff that I mentioned just now about the people being displaced, like the risk of crimes increasing, it is the people that I'm afraid of. You are speaking at it from a perspective of the truth. The truth is that they are making a choice to being displaced. I am considering the perspective of the people who are about to be displaced, because we need to understand. I'm going to use my experience being like, I hope this doesn't trigger anyone.
No, you know what? It's okay. These are great discussions, because too many times, Felix, and again, you and I don't know each other well. We're just getting to know each other. And this is, I love this, by the way. But if somebody gets triggered, let them get triggered. It's, you know, this goes back to do people have the right not to be offended? No, they don't. And I'm sorry, we have a lot of rights as human beings, but the right not to be offended isn't one of those. So dive in. I mean, I can promise you one thing, whether we agree or not, I still respect you and who you are. So tell me what your thoughts are. I mean, this is a good discussion.
It's not you that I'm afraid of as well. It's the people who are listening that needs to hear this, but because because they're so triggered, they are not listening. So I'm prefacing that, so that they can prepare themselves.
I love it. Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
So I had eczema for 4 years. It's an adult onset eczema. It started around the beginning of COVID, and I had it for 4 years. It was tremendous suffering. And every single time someone hears me saying this, 5 seconds into my sharing, before they even hear me talking about what I've tried, before they even hear me talking about whether I am already recovered from that, their mind is already busy looking for solutions for me, in a sense where they are going to start to think about what creams are they going to recommend Felix, what kind of diets Felix should be doing, what kind of doctor Felix should be seeing. Their mind is already so busy thinking about that they stop listening to me talking. And then I have to repeatedly tell them, I've already cured myself. I no longer have eczema. Now, here's the thing. The way I cured myself is something that many people highly disagree with. I cure my eczema from doing carnivore diet. And before I was doing carnivore diet, I tried raw vegan, vegetarian. Mm-hmm. Like I tried all the anti-inflammation protocols. Like I tried all the stuff that the so-called experts with their thousands of medical, like scientific research journals, published journals are saying I should be doing. They said, no, you should be doing this. And I did the exact opposite of that. The reason why I did the exact opposite of that, because I was following to the letter everything that they're saying. And it didn't work.
Interesting.
Right. It didn't work for me, right? So they believe in the scientific research. They believe in a bunch of things because they got their own personal experience, because they have their clients, their case studies. Everybody wants to have a say in how I should solve my eczema, except they forgot something. If they make me the wrong recommendation and I follow the wrong recommendation, it is not them who suffer. It is me. It is I. Right? When I share this, the number one type of audience that gets outraged the most, the vegans, the hardcore, the hardcore vegan. They're like, Felix, you're a killer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, you're a killer. Like, you are, just because I was trying to solve my own problem, because they have a certain worldview, you see?
Okay.
And I met people who are like that. And when I talk to them, there is no way we can communicate. Because every time I talk to them, they are constantly getting triggered because of who I am.
Gotcha.
I wasn't even trying. So what is taught me is that it taught me the concept. It gave me a real life experience of the concept of invincible ignorance.
I love that concept. That's interesting.
They have made up their mind. They're not going to change their mindset. You know the truth and you try to tell them the truth. But certain people will only accept your version of the truth when they are ready to accept your version of the truth.
Very interesting.
We know what is the truth. We know that, hey, look, like if people aren't picking up these skills, if they don't learn AI and all, but you know what they're going to see? We see ourselves as people who are just trying to help people out. What the naysayers, the anti-AI people, all they see are two dudes who just want to fatten their wallet by preaching an agenda.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of that perspective. And I guess, I can see how people would think that. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm using, this is how I pay my bills. I teach people about AI to pay my bills.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yet it's okay to go to, on the same, and I'm just carrying that conversation. This could go so long. We're going to have to do a follow-up on this, Felix, because I guarantee we could go a long time. And I love your perspective on this. Even though I may not totally agree, that same argument. Okay. So we're two dudes that are trying to fatten our wallets based on AI.
Yeah. Why
do those same people tell me that I need to go to university and get a degree? Isn't that really about fattening my wallet too? Because why else would I go to university if I wasn't trying to learn skills that would make me more money? That's all we're doing.
This is human nature. Like, that is why
I get that. I'm just trying to make the contrarian argument, I guess, to go, okay,
I don't disagree. I don't disagree. I completely agree with you. It makes no sense. But that's how people are. The mass majority.
And I definitely, going back to kind of bring this full circle, I definitely see where you're coming from. That, and I agree, AI is going to displace people. Yes, it is. The internal combustion engine did. PCs did. I'm older than you, but I remember I was starting in the workforce as PCs were showing up on desktops. And, we had people going, I've got a typewriter. I'm never going to use a word processor. And I've got an ADA machine. I'm never going to use Lotus 1-2-3. Then they started realizing that, holy cow, that guy sitting next to me in the cubicle, they can pound out twice as much work using that PC.
The smart ones.
Some then left the workforce, some got other jobs. But I guess the part that the part that riles me about the whole we're all going to be displaced is the internal combustion engine didn't leave our entire populace sitting homeless alongside the roads begging for food. The PC didn't do that. The internet didn't do that. They all were predicted to do that, and none of them did.
Yeah.
Never in history has a shift happened like this that has caused society to basically dissolve. And yet there are plenty of fearmongers out there that I feel, maybe I'm incorrect because, of course, we shouldn't trust our feelings totally. But when I hear them basically talking about society is going to dissolve because of AI. And candidly, I think they're full of I just don't see it happening. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I think as we talk, I think you and I, Felix, probably have more in common than we don't on this topic is my guess. And by the way, kudos on choosing the carnivore diet to deal with the eczema. I think that was while I'm not a dietitian, and if I stood up, you'd realize I'm not even thin. I think that, that to me, whether I agree with it or not, and by the way, I do, but if I, whether or not it's irrelevant is to me, because it was your choice to make and it worked. Yeah. I'm a big one for free choice. And I guess that's how I'll summarize that on the AI thing. I do believe that we as humans have free choice and that we can make the decisions to what to do. I believe we have to then deal with those repercussions as well. I've made some really stupid mistakes in my life and, you know, had to deal with the repercussions of that. Nobody stepped in to go, oh, geez, Jonathan, we understand why you did that. We can see that now. And yeah, that's all right. No, I had some real, you know, poop sandwiches I had to eat in life because of that. And it's probably part of why I believe now that, again, people need to be able to make their own. I think the one difference is that I really do believe in the human spirit. And I believe at the end of the day that the people that desire to work and desire to be self-supporting will be, regardless of what happens. And the group, and there are certain people out there that would rather live off the dole. They'll just use AI as another excuse why they should do that. And I don't really see any fundamental changes coming. Personally, I think we're just going to, will we see an evolution in what we do? Yeah. I mean, 2 years ago, I was selling websites. Today, I don't sell websites anymore. Not that I don't think they're any good, not that they're not needed, but I pivoted because I saw opportunities in AI that I thought surpassed the interest that I had candidly in continuing to sell websites and digital marketing. So anyway, I'm rambling and we're getting off topic. I think it's a great discussion. I'm serious. I'd love to have you back on to talk more about this, especially, you know, maybe 90 days down the road, we get into 2025, see where we're going with things and where that happens. I think that we're all going to be surprised in different ways. And I think the one change I totally agree with you on is I think that a lot of those changes aren't necessarily going to happen. If we say blue collar versus white collar, traditionally, it's been blue collar jobs that have been impacted by technology changes. I actually think in this case, it is going to be white collar jobs that are more dramatically impacted than blue collar. So yeah, great stuff. Let's head back, if we can, for a minute, Felix, into AI adoption. Assuming we're talking, you know, you talk to a lot of businesses, you give them advice and things like that. What advice would you give to those businesses that are sitting on the sidelines or that really haven't embraced AI as we head into 2025? What advice would you give them as it pertains to integrating AI with their teams and inside their companies?
My question to you is, why the focus on the people who haven't embraced AI?
Well, because I think right now that's the majority. It's a good question. But I think, you know, depending on which study you read, and of course, it's funny, my youngest is 17 and he's taking a class called, in high school, about statistics. And the book that the teacher said is How to Use Statistics to Lie is actually the book that they're using to learn about statistics. So I think we can always use statistics incorrectly, but it appears from most of the data that I've got and most of the people that I talk to that the overwhelming majority of people are at best playing with AI versus actually consciously planning to implement it in ways that can help them in their lives and their business.
I think one of the, just now you mentioned something about how you believe that everyone should make their own choices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe in that too. One of my core value is one of fundamental core value is empowerment, which means that whatever it is that you want to do, I am not going to stand in the way of that. I'm not even going to try to influence that. So I won't even speak to the people who are sitting in the sidelines. Look-see, you know, like we just by us doing what we are doing, the people who are ready to learn, not accept, but learn, they will automatically shift their stance towards it. They're going to automatically take their action about it. So I think it's pointless to talk to the people who are sitting on the sidelines, not wanting to learn, because there is no way I can change their way of thinking. Just like the vegans I was talking about just now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, yeah, I know, and I think that's true. What about the people that are open to it, that want to, but they just don't know what to do next? What would you say to that person?
Yeah, so that is that I have a lot to say. I really think, I just want to make sure, I want to clarify again that I want to repeat myself that I'm not afraid of AI. If I'm afraid, I wouldn't be.
Oh, no, no. And I know you're not. No, I totally understood.
Yeah. What I am afraid of are people. People who are misusing AI. People who are unscrupulous. People who don't have a lot of ethics, who has a flexible morality. You know, those are the people that I am very wary of. Mm-hmm. So now here's the thing. People like you and I aren't going to be vulnerable to people like that. Unless those people are, we are talking about like governments and certain high power individuals with a lot of influence and a lot of power. Unless they are those kind of people, you and I aren't going to be vulnerable to those people. The kind of people who will be most vulnerable to AI users of flexible morality are the people who are currently new and exploring AI. So one thing that we see, like at the start of last year, all the way to the, around the middle of last year, towards the end of last year, I saw this trend a lot in the AI scene. Thankfully, it is less now, but it goes something along the lines of, use these prompts and make 10K next month.
What drives me, I think, even crazier though about it though, is as we talk about that, Felix, is why do people believe that?
Again, I keep trying to tell you, like, there's things that people should do, and then there are things that they will do.
Yeah. Well, again, I love the way you're thinking and going through this. I love this discussion. Yeah. No, I agree, and I certainly think there's risk there. There will always be risk there. It's you know, I was just watching a very old TV show with my wife the other day, and it was a old kind of old West, the 1900s era, and you know, there were the guys driving through. Oh, we've got the kitty cat. Yeah. Who's the kitty cat, Felix? She needs an introduction.
Her name is Pudding.
Pudding. Yeah, oh, yes. She looks like she's a happy cat, too. I love that.
Yeah. She's very sweet.
That's awesome. Yeah. We love meeting kids and pets on the podcast, so that's awesome. Anyway, I was saying, you know, even then they had the traveling salesman that came through that was selling a potion, you know, and so I think, you know, to a certain extent, some of those people will always be with us. I'm kind of guessing part of your advice is let's not fall for the people that are making promises that are too good to be true, because you and I have been around long enough to know if the promise is too good to be true, it's because it's not true.
There's a nuance to that. So I'll try to articulate this.
Please.
You will notice that the people who are making those kind of promises, they gain the highest amount of virality. And the reason why this happens, is for a few reasons. First, back then, the market sophistication is very low. And what we know about market sophistication is, if the market sophistication is low enough, for as long as there's a demand and there's a supply, it doesn't matter what happened, people are going to buy. You know, so as time goes by, market sophistication grows. And it is a natural progression, and we can't really force it. It's just the way things are. The second reason, other than market sophistication, is that the very same people who comment and like buy these kind of stuff, they're going to keep doing that because they're never going to use it. Like, I buy this prompt.
Okay.
You know, and I will never discover that the prompt doesn't work because I will never use it.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep on buying and buying and buying and buying and buying. You know, that supports the people who are those kind of people. And that gives them results. And what do marketers do when they see results? Hey, this works. Let's do more of that. You know, and so we have a lot of people selling pipe dream right now. It has happened in the guru industry until the FTC came and cracked down on the industry, and now a lot of those people have to pay like millions of dollars in fines. So now the industry is normalizing, right? AI hasn't yet reached that stage. So
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so we have a lot of people who are selling, who are making a lot of big promises that they cannot back up, and nobody is finding out. because people aren't even taking action. So yes, the advice is to keep a lookout and apply critical thinking, but I would say apply critical thinking and apply critical action too. Like if you're gonna test and see whether or not something is gonna do what they claim it's gonna do, like test it for real. Don't just buy and then say, hey, like I saw this thing the other day. It was very cool for social credits. You know, don't do that kind of stuff. But then again, like why am I even talking about those people? They have their own journey. I think the kind of people who I really need to talk about are the people who are serious about AI. The people who are serious about AI, who are not playing around. They see the potential, they see the danger, they see like they are seriously committing. That is the key word here. I would like to speak to the people who are committing to learning about AI and committing to future-proofing themselves. I think that is the kind of people that you and I should be talking to.
That's a great point. Yeah. Great point. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this as we bring the plane in for a landing. Two questions, Felix. One, if people want to reach out and learn more about you, connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that? And then the second question is, what parting words would you like to leave with that audience that you just defined? I think that's a really good point.
Well, the first question, because it's easy, subscribe to my newsletter, felixday.com. Simple as that. Like, I don't have a fancy website. It's just one thing. It's just landing page. As the benefit of being in my newsletter is that I give daily insights on practical applications of AI and business strategies to assign clients and future-proofing ourselves. On top of that, I do monthly workshops on things. So like just now you mentioned that we talked about origin story, right?
Yep.
I actually have a GPT that people can interact with. I used to like send a long form to people to answer questions, and now they just like my clients to interact with the GPT and 15 minutes, 30 minutes, they got their origin story.
That's amazing. So true.
Yeah, it's like I come up with like stuff like that all the time. But I am not one of those people. I'm not like the kind of creator that gives value for free. Like I guard my stuff a little bit. So when they come into my stuff, I give insights for free, but they also get invitations every now and again. Like whenever I am conducting workshops where I give this stuff away, so they can actually sign up and join those things as well. So that's the opportunity there. Follow me on in terms of social media, I am most active on Twitter and Facebook. So Twitter would be FTA AI and Facebook will be just Felix Day. So I think all the links I've already given to you, so they can
find me. We have them. We'll definitely get those added in 110%.
Yeah.
Making
sure
that
we get those. Some free resource as well. I think I give some free resource like the 60 lead magnet in 60 seconds. That was a free AI process that I do.
Awesome. Well, and we will definitely add that into the show notes as well as make sure we get that up on screen here so we've got all that in place.
The reality of AI usage right now, practically speaking, may not necessarily be as sexy as what most people are painting the picture at. Like people are painting this wonderful, beautiful picture right now. It is not that sexy. Like, it is not that practical yet because there's wishful thinking, a lot of wishful thinking going on. However, there are a bunch of things which are very practical, but at the same time, very fundamental. Because at the end of the day, what is marketing? Marketing is an amplification of a message. If your message is not on point, if your message doesn't fit the market, it doesn't matter how many times you amplify the message, you're amplifying nothing. And AI can help with that. AI can definitely help with that right now. So even though the reality of AI, when you remove all the wishful thinking and pipe dream, it is not as sexy as what most people make it out to be, it is a lot more profound than what you give credit for. Because those basic stuff, right, when done right, can create life-changing money. And I think that's one thing that we can, like, for the people who are truly committed to learning about AI, I think that is something that they need to understand, like, so that they don't get so easily distracted by the noise. As always, master the basic first before you even think about the sexy stuff, you know?
Great, great ending advice. And I love the way you look at AI as an amplifier. I've said that for a long time. AI amplifies skill and experience. But if you don't have any skill and experience, it's hard to amplify. And that's not picking on any individuals. That's just I see it. I think in my group, Felix, you see it too. People are like, how do I make money with AI? It's like, well, first we need a service. We need a value. You need to bring something of value to people that are willing to exchange their money for your value. And then you can use AI to make that process more efficient, maybe to do a better job at it, all those things like that. But in and of itself, yeah, I love the amplification concept. That's great. Looked like you were going to say something else. Go ahead.
I actually created a video for my client, for my clients, that actually answers that question.
That's awesome.
So if your audience wants, like, it's called the AI Client Factory Model. There's a lot of context that I put in there so that it's not a pipe dream, so that there are conditions to make it work. And I make it very clear inside the presentation itself. It's 1 hour and 40 minutes long. So if your audience would be interested, I can actually give you...
If you want to send us the link, we'll put it down in the show notes for everybody. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I think that would be the most... I think the entire year, that is probably the most useful training I've ever done this whole year. And I think that for the people who are serious, only if they are really serious about AI, this would be a game changer for them. And it's free.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Felix. And thank you for your time. We've had a great discussion here. I definitely would like to continue parts of it and see where we go. Love your perspective. Love your openness. And again, just want to thank you for the time coming on the show and chatting. Want to thank everybody that's listened. And we'd love your comments. We had lots of stuff for you to comment on in this show. And we'd love your thoughts as well. Let's just keep it a civil discourse. Let's not get upset for carnivore diets or anything else. Let's focus on maybe we can all learn a little bit by sharing a little bit. So thank you for sticking with us. We appreciate you guys. Love or like the podcast, subscribe, and we will see you on the other side. Make it a great day, everybody.